Hi, Fallen listeners. We're releasing this episode during our normal off week so that you can get the information within the month of March when Raymond's campaign was launched. This is the Fall Line. This is a special episode designed to bring you important information about one of the most followed cases in the history of the Fall Line, the 1978 kidnapping of Raymond Greene. He was kidnapped by an unknown woman who snuck onto the maternity ward at Grady Memorial Hospital, befriended Raymond's mother, Donna Greene, and managed to find out her address. Just a few days later, this woman, who called herself Lisa Morris, appeared at Donna's home. She claimed that she wanted to check in on mother and baby, but she was actually there to steal Raymond. And she was successful. For 44 years, Donna Greene has pursued her son's case, even when she could find no outside support, no media coverage for her son, and a lost police file that had to be built from the ground up, years after Raymond's disappearance. But when Donna became connected with NCMEC, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, she found resources that inspired her to bring support to other families. And that is just what she's done. Donna has worked for more than a decade to arrange vigils, provide practical help, and has even started her own nonprofit, the Raymond Greene International Outreach, to support families of the missing and murdered. One of her most recent initiatives has been to work to encourage community submission of DNA to GEDmatch in hopes of increasing the chances of identifying both missing people and Doe cases. But Donna is still waiting to find Raymond. He could be in Atlanta, where he was kidnapped, or he could be anywhere. And that has been the trouble. For a child taken just days after birth, before any photos were taken, how could she track him? How might he recognize himself in a missing persons poster? There are people who've been working with Donna to address that problem, too. Our friend Kelly Lawson, the GBI's forensic artist, did both a childhood and adult age progression of Raymond and of his kidnapper, who used the name Lisa. And another forensic artist at NCMEC created an adult progression of Raymond as well. These renderings have been used in various campaigns over the years, but the scope of those campaigns has been limited until now. Raymond's case is the first national launch of a campaign initiative NCMEC has previously used on a regional scale in other missing persons cases, and we're hoping that this will be the game changer for Donna and for Raymond. On February 22nd, NCMEC held a press conference here in Atlanta, attended by local officials from the GBI and Atlanta Police Department. Angeline Hartman, NCMEC's media director and longtime advocate for Raymond's case, spoke about the initiative. If her name sounds familiar, it's because she's been on our show before, both to discuss NCMEC initiatives and separately to talk about her work on her podcast, Inside Crime with Angeline Hartman. Last time we had her on, it was to discuss the case of Dennis Doe, an unidentified victim who has since been identified. Angeline was involved in his case, first as a journalist and then at NCMEC for years.
Today, we are excited to announce a new strategy. This is a new strategy that we hope will help solve a decades-old infant abduction mystery that happened right here in this neighborhood. Raymond Greene was just 5 days old when he was abducted in November 1978 from Carver Homes on Maury Avenue. That was November 6, 1978. And so now, to generate fresh leads in this case, the National Center is partnering with GSTV. That's a national digital video network. And for the first time ever, all GSTV screens at gas pumps across the nation will spotlight just one case. We're going to ask viewers to help bring home Raymond Greene. So just to let you know how big a deal this is, GSTV has more than 28,000 gas stations across the country. So that's not fuel pumps, that's fuel retailers nationwide. So that's a lot of new eyes on this case. This is an unprecedented effort to reach people who may not know about Raymond Green and may not know what happened, but they might be key to bringing him home. Now, with a brand new age progression image of what Raymond might look like today, we're going to feature that, and we're calling attention to Raymond at what he might look like now at age 44, and we will feature an image of his abductor. And so we want to make sure that people look at both images very closely. We believe, we strongly believe, that Raymond could be out there and not know his real identity. We've worked with families in similar situations where their babies were kidnapped and found alive as adults. Just a few months ago, you may have heard about the case of Melissa Highsmith. This is a case out of Fort Worth, Texas, and her family had been searching for her for more than 5 decades. She was 22 months old when she was abducted. That was in 1971, and it turns out she had been living in the same area, just 10 minutes away from where she was abducted. And she had no idea about her true identity. Just last November, this family was reunited with Melissa after 51 years. 51 years. So we know it can happen. For 44 years, Raymond's family has never given up hope. We know that it's possible to find him. So today, we know that Raymond could be anywhere after 44 years. So GSTV is giving us an invaluable opportunity to reach the entire country. And we're asking everybody to just take a moment out of their day and really focus in on his face and the face of that abductor, because you never know when you might be that one person who can make a difference.
Angeline, we are so glad to have you back on the show. Last time we spoke about Dennis Doe, whose case you had been working on for years when we spoke. As our listeners know, Dennis Doe was finally identified in July of 2022 as William Deshaun Hamilton. And I know that you followed William's case for years, even back when you were in Atlanta as a journalist. And I know it must have been incredibly fulfilling for you to see him finally identified.
Laura, it's so nice to be back. Thank you for having me. Yeah, that case was very, very close to my heart, as we've talked about many times. And it's hard to believe that after so many years, 23 years, we finally have answers. You know, we knew that the answers were out there, but after so long to finally know his name is William Deshaun Hamilton, that he was 6 years old, I'm still processing it in a lot of ways. And it's only now that I can actually talk about it without getting emotional. You know, for so long after it was announced, it would just break down. And it sounds crazy, but I just couldn't keep it together. So yeah, I am, you know, it's just a sad, sad case, but he deserves to have his name back. And we're so glad that he finally does.
We are as well. And another case that we've both worked on for a long time is Raymond Green's case. And a mutual friend that we share is Donna Green. We got to know Donna when we put together season 3 of The Fall Line. We've worked with her ever since. And you're one of the first people she mentioned. She's known you for a long time as well as someone at NCMEC who has really worked hard for her. And she struggled to get traditional media attention for Raymond's case for a long time. And I know that NCMEC has tried to address that in so many different ways. I've seen Twitter campaigns, flyers, social media, a billboard. But this new plan that was recently announced that we just played the clip of is something that I've never seen before in Georgia. I've heard talk about it in other states that they've seen things like this, but not here. So when I heard about this from you and from Donna, I was so excited.
Right. Well, we're excited too. I mean, it's really amazing to think about, you know, one case being featured across the country. GSTV, Nick Mick's partner in all of this that made this happen, has 28,000 gas stations across the country. And while they featured one case in a target area before, you know, they've been working with Nick Mick for several years and they've featured different cases. They've done that and have had success. This is the first time that one case is featured at the same time throughout the country. And so if you say 28,000 gas stations, I mean, some gas stations have 10 gas pumps, some have two, some have 20. I mean, that is a huge reach. And so we could not be more excited. You mentioned that Donna for a long time did not get attention. And, you know, that is a fact in her case. It is very sad. And the National Center wants to do whatever it can to support her. I just want to take a second for people who may not know, she is such an inspiration for others in the community. She not only works on trying to find answers about what happened to Raymond, trying to bring him home, but she helps other families who may have missing loved ones in unsolved cases. She does what she can to get the word out. And for the National Center, she's part of our Team Hope. That's a peer support group. She has a lot to deal with on her own, but she is doing what she can to help others. And so we want to do whatever we can to help her.
And when we talk about this kind of campaign, I would love for you to tell us a little bit about how this functions differently than, say, a social media campaign or newspaper, TV, because of course we think about that reaching a lot of people, but these gas campaigns have got to be reaching people in a different way.
For sure. Well, every driver needs gas, right? So you're reaching people who may not be engaged with the story. Number one, we're reaching people nationwide, right? So we don't know where Raymond is. Raymond could still be in the Atlanta area. We've seen cases like his where an abducted child is found still close to home, close to where they were abducted. But we've seen where they've been out of state in different parts. So not knowing, it is important to go nationwide with his case. And this is different because, I mean, you know, with social media, people, if they're on Facebook, they expect to see certain things, right? But when you are at a gas pump, this is just something that kind of comes out of the blue. It is not only video, it's audio, it's moving. It's like, this is unexpected and it reaches a totally new audience. And the reaction has been awesome. I think people are just so surprised when they see it. And because they're surprised, it is catching their attention. Whether they want to know about a missing child, whether they have ever heard about this case or not, we just have our fingers crossed because at the very least, this has gotten people talking about this case. And that's hard to do in a 44-year-old case. People are talking about Raymond Green. To me, that's a success right there.
Two things that immediately stuck out to me were, one, you can't scroll past, you know, it's not something you're going to miss. You sit there, you're a captive audience in some way. So the message really gets home to you. And second, we always, I think, assume everyone is as plugged into social media as we are. And there are so many people who just aren't. We've heard from so many families that they missed the one newspaper article, the one television spot, you know.
That's exactly it.
So this is hitting people who might not otherwise see it. And we've had people from all over the country telling us they saw this, coming to our social media to tell us. And I think one thing that Nick Mack did here that was so smart, I think, and so effective was the choices that were made in the design of the image. And so I'd love for you to talk about that a little bit, what you chose to include in the image as an organization and why, and how that might be more helpful than just including an age progression?
Well, yeah, we definitely had some choices to make because this video, it's only 15 seconds, right? And that goes by pretty quick. Now, you can show a lot of different things. As you know, there is no picture of Raymond. There was no baby picture taken of him. And so the only pictures that are out there were pictures that were sketched from her memory, right? There's that one baby picture, the sketch from Donna. So the first one that we have up there is Raymond Green's age progression of what he might look like now. That was done by a forensic artist from the National Center, and they used photos of Raymond's siblings as references. And so that was very important to do because we want people to know, hey, this is what he possibly looks like now, right? Then we thought it was important to show his abductor and what the abductor might look like now, because people may not recognize Raymond, but maybe they recognize this woman. Maybe they knew her before, but this is what she looks like now. And, you know, there hasn't been a lot of focus on the abductor over the years. Really, the focus has been on Raymond. And I think that's so important now in 2023 to really hone in on her, what she looks like, and to ask people to think back where they were in the late 70s. Did they notice somebody who showed up with a baby? Was there something strange? Did this woman act funny? Like, you know, to think more about the abductor just as much as they think about Raymond. So yeah, we decided to show both of those images, and there's so many ways. There's 100 different ways we could have done it, but that's the choice we made. And, you know, there's that big logo that just says abductor. And I think that alone catches your attention when you're at the gas pump, like, wait, what? This isn't an abductor? So it's important to say, too, that that abductor sketch was done by Kelly Lawson over at the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. And, you know, she talked to Donna years ago and did a sketch with what Donna remembered about the abductor. And then from that, this age progression is based on that sketch. So Kelly was at our press conference last week and basically said to everybody, hey, this is not an exact match. This is not exactly what you should be looking for. It is a likeness. You know, maybe this person's thinner. Maybe they're heavier. Maybe the hair is not right. But just look at the picture, look at the image, and get your mind thinking. And as long as people have that openness, they're on the right track.
Are there other kinds of campaigns like this that NCMEC is currently exploring? Because these are just such amazing ways to get pictures and messages about missing children out to the public. I'd love to hear.
Right. Well, you know, it's constantly evolving. In Atlanta, the charging stations for the electric vehicles, Raymond Green, his image has been on that. We haven't done that on a nationwide level, but that's something we're exploring. And then as technology evolves, we're open to everything and we're looking at everything. I think, you know, one of the coolest things about our team at the National Center, one of the things we do is we sit around and talk about different cases, how we can help these families, different strategies on getting the message out there. And so this evolved from that as we were talking about different ways to help Donna, to help this case. And it really happened after the case in Fort Worth, Texas, Melissa Highsmith. Her case is an incredible one. She was abducted at 22 months old and was missing for 51 years. Her family had been looking for her. And then after 51 years, because of a DNA match, they were reunited. That reunification, that happened in November, Thanksgiving weekend. And so that was kind of fresh in people's minds. People were talking about it and people realized, oh my gosh, this is possible. And we said, yes, it is possible. If it can happen in a 51-year-old case, it can happen in a 44-year-old case like Raymond's. Timing is everything.
What can our audience and everybody do to support these kinds of efforts?
Well, social media was a game changer, right? I mean, now everybody can get involved and share posters, share the information. And it's easy to do on social media, to tell your 10 friends, tell your 100 friends. But anybody, you don't have to be on social media. You can go to our website, missingkids.org, and you can find out the missing kids in your community and share those posters and support us that way. Donna will tell you, it's not just Raymond's case. All of this attention that's happening right now helps another missing child. You know, she sees that as a win, and she sees Raymond's case as just moving one step closer to the head of the line, as she says, of missing cases. So yeah, I encourage everybody to, first of all, be open to the idea that you could be that person, because you never know when it can happen, right? And then do your part. Go on missingkids.org and see who's missing in your area. And the thing is, without our partnerships and without people like you who are helping spread the word, it just doesn't get amplified as much.
Every day in America, 60 million packages are delivered, but we don't always know what's inside.
He bent down to pick the package up. That's when the device detonated.
Danger is everywhere, and no one is safe in Austin, Texas, as law enforcement hunts a serial bomber for 19 days. From Sony Music Entertainment, Campside Media, and Pegalo Pictures, this is Witnessed, 19 Days. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts to binge all episodes or listen weekly wherever you get your podcasts.
And Brooke also got to speak with Donna Green about Raymond's new campaign. Like us, Donna is based here in Atlanta, so she was able to join in the press conference and see the launch of Raymond's campaign firsthand. She told us how it all came together.
Anthony Hartman called me and told me that she's working on something and she'll let me know. And then she called me back and told me that she, because we was trying to get Raymond on MARTA in Atlanta and different places. And so she called me back and said that she got him on the gas station pump TV. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. But when she told me the magnitude of it, and it's all across the country, I was floored. Like, I was like, whoa, what? You know, because I didn't know. And then I got people calling me from, you know, Texas and here and there, just different places, Louisiana, just different places saying they seen Raymond, they seen Raymond, they seen Raymond on TV, on their gas station pumps, which it really means a lot to me.
Our producer, Maura, saw it in Las Vegas.
Did she?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That is so cool because, you know, for a long time, we didn't have anything. I think anytime you can get your child's information out there, your lost loved one or missing loved one information out there, it's a major thing.
I was amazed that it was like 28,000 stations, and that's not just gas pumps. And think about 28,000 times at a minimum, they would have probably six pumps. And then how many people cycle through there a day? Like you said, if any people see that and think that they feel out of place in their family, think about how many people this might possibly reunite with a family.
With Raymond being missing and everything, it left me feeling alone. And then when I realized, once I hooked up with National Missing Children, and I've seen so many other families going through what I'm going through, how can you not see the benefit of not just helping yourself? Because really, it is a benefit. When you help yourself, you're helping everybody else. And when you're helping everybody else, you're helping yourself. When you're helping others that's going through that, you're helping yourself also. I know I felt alone, and I felt like Raymond didn't matter. For a long time, I felt like that. So I don't want anybody else feeling like that. And you know how it feels to be a mother or parent of a missing child or something, or a missing adult, and then someone shows up and giving out flyers and doing all this for your child or for your missing loved one. That means a lot. That means somebody cares. And that's what we want to know. We want to know someone cares. And then on top of that, another one of the reasons is I don't want families to just sit at home and wait on the police. We have work to do. It's work to be done. So if you're just sitting at home and waiting on an answer and waiting on the police, that case going to go cold and it's going to get dull and dark. And then people will forget. So I, as we do this, I try to tell the families, you know, let's keep this going, you know, next year on their date. Let's give out flyers here. Have you put it here? Have you put it on, you know, to keep it? We got to keep them out there, because thing is, there's so many children that's missing right now today, you know, and more will come missing today as we speak. So we got to keep putting it out there. Every time I hear a child's missing, it makes me want to go to that family right then and ask them what I can do. It makes me just want to just drive 20 hours if I need to. Can I do anything? Is it anything I could do for you? Because I know what that feeling is. And I want them to know there's somebody else out there that understand what they're going through. And if nothing else I can do, can I just be here for you? Because sometimes that's all we can do.
People do talk about sort of sinking into a depression, feeling like there is no movement. And it seems like what you've been talking about is these cases are all interconnected. Even if Raymond's case is not taking a step forward at that moment, other cases are, and they all sort of come together.
Definitely. I had a case where the young lady, her daughter was missing, and they just found her daughter a few months back through DNA. She's 28, something like that. When she called me and told me that she found her daughter, she found it through DNA. The daughter had put DNA in, I guess, a year prior or whatever. She did her DNA, decided to go check it in a few months. And then when she checked it, there it was. There was a match, possible parent child. It was her daughter. And when she called me crying, you know, telling me she found her daughter and everything. And she was ecstatic, but then she started crying, and I was like, why are you crying? This is good. You know, those tears for joy. And she was like, no, I just don't want you to feel like I'm boasting or I'm bragging because yours haven't came home. She broke down and cried, and I was like, yes, he did. Every time a child comes home, my child is in that child. Every time a child comes home, I said, you never have to feel like that when you talk to me. I pray and ask God, if you can't bring my child home today, bring somebody's child home. Ease some mother's heart. You know, I said, so your child is home. My child came home through you. You know, because I didn't want her feeling like she couldn't talk to me about her child and that. I didn't want her doing that. And I didn't know she felt like that. But when she expressed that, and even when I talked to her again, she said the same thing. I'm sorry, Donna. I'm not trying to boast about her coming home. And I'm like, well, it's such a beautiful thing. I really wish you believe that I'm so happy for you and I don't feel anything but happiness and joy. I really wish you believe that, because if you did, you wouldn't say that to me every time we talk about your daughter. I mean, really, every time somebody's child come home, that gives you hope, right? That's saying that, you know, if this child can come home, mine can come home. So the way I look at it, Raymond is in a lineup, and every time somebody's child comes home, it brings him closer to the front, you know, and then one day it'll be him. So all these other children must come home in order for him to come home. So yes, I'm happy every time somebody come home. I'm just he coming home and them, you know. They every time a child came home, it brings him one step closer to coming home. So I'm ecstatic for those kids, people who loved ones come home. I cry for them. I have joy. Even if I don't know them and will never see them in my life, if it's on TV, I just have joy for them.
Brooke asked Donna what advice she has for families, whether they're facing a new case of a missing loved one or a long-term case, how they might get their story out there, and how they might attract attention and community support.
First thing I would do is social media. You know, if you can't do anything else, if it's the like the worst scenario where you just at home in a wheelchair, can't move, can't get out, and don't have nobody, but you have a computer, social media can take you places that your legs, you would never go. You know what I'm saying? So the first thing I would do is I would just get out on social media. And once you get out on social media and start reaching out to some of these missing person organizations and stuff, missing person chats on there, you're going to bring a whole lot of people right there into your home while you're sitting there to understand your flight. You know, and then you just ask, you know, find out, is there anybody in the area that has a loved one? Maybe not a child, but a loved one that's missing, you know, and then you can connect that way as well, you know. And then if you got a phone, use your phone, call the newspaper, call the news stations, call the radio. Just put it out there. You know, if they won't hear you, call again. And if they won't hear you, call again, because somebody, I believe, is always one person. You may get to 15 people that said no, but that one person got a little passion in their heart, and they'll sit and listen to your story. You know, and that's what you want. So, you know, call the police department, you know, talk to their people in communication and ask them what they put it out there. It's so many ways. If you can't go anywhere, but you do have a computer, you got a phone, you can make some connections. And even with that, you can have people calling you on your phone to talk to you about what's going on, you know, talk to you about your loved one, listen to you talk about your loved one. So it's always something you can do. I think the thing is, when the cases get gone so long that we just tend to think ain't nothing else we can do. I don't care if the case is 40 years old, you can resurrect a dead case. You can. You know what I'm saying? You can bring it back to life. You just got to start putting it out there. You can bring that case back to life. That people be like, oh, yeah, I remember that case. Oh, yeah, I remember that case. You know? So you can just bring it back. Just get some flyers made and start talking to people. You know? And then what are people going to do? They're going to start talking to people about your case. I've even seen somebody advertising on socks, their missing person. On shoes, they have their shoes with the missing person's face on their shoes. You know, that's to me, that was creative. You know, I've seen it on headbands, the missing person on headbands. So I don't, you know, you got them on the cups and everything. So it's so many different ways. See, we always thought that it had to be the news media had to do it or the radio had to do it. They don't have to do it anymore. I mean, it's great they do because it's national, but social media is national. It's everywhere. You know what I'm saying? So, and then if you're just a little creative, and my creative ain't your creative. You know what I'm saying? I've seen them on the trucks. You know, I've seen them on the, somebody did it on flower pots, you know, and gave them to different people. You know what I'm saying? So it's so many creative ways that you can do that now. That what was done today, tomorrow it'll be something totally different, and you'd be like, "Wow, I never would have thought of that." You know what I'm saying? So you just got to be creative in your mind as to what you want to do. But you don't even have to be that creative, because if you just look at other things that other people is doing, you know, I know somebody would send their child to school with they missing persons on their child notebook, and other kids offer to wear it on their notebook too. That's creative. You see what I'm saying? So you just gotta you gotta have your own creativity, but whatever you're doing, just put it in there. And that's what I tell people. I go in restaurants and ask people, you know, if I see a wall available, I'll ask them, you know, would you mind if we bring some missing person flyers in here and post on the wall? You know, a lot of times these people are in the community, and if somebody walk in your establishment and see that you have a missing person, they may know that person. You know what I'm saying? You have to bring somebody home. Just let, a lot of them say, yeah. You know, they say that, yeah, so many ways that you can do it.
Donna would like us to make sure that we extend thanks to GSTV, NCMEC, APD, and the GBI. Our producer, Maura, went to a local gas station in Nevada to get tape of Raymond's PSA so that you can all hear it. And if you've seen the ad, be sure to let Donna know at her Raymond Green International Outreach page or on our Instagram post about the campaign. She loves seeing how far this message has reached.
Raymond Green was abducted by an unknown woman in 1978. He was just 5 days old, stolen from his Atlanta home. This is what Raymond might look like now. Please help find Raymond Green.
If you have any information regarding the kidnapping of Raymond Green or the woman who called herself Lisa Morris, call Crime Stoppers Atlanta at 404-577-TIPS. That's 8477, or NCMEC at 1-800-843-5678. We have forensic sketches up on all our social media for you to view. Thank you for listening. If you know a case that should be covered on the Fall Line, there's a link to our case submission form in the show notes. If you've enjoyed the show, please take a moment to rate it on your favorite podcast app. The Fall Line is an independently produced show, and we appreciate listener support. It allows us to do research, obtain FOIA, pay our content advisors, and support and donate to the causes we care about. And if you try out the products we advertise, please use our sponsor codes. It really helps. And if you'd like to support the show and the stories we cover, join us on Patreon. We're raising Patreon funds to continue to pay for the Milberg Twins billboard and to fund therapy for families who've been on the show. Each and every one of our patrons helps us continue this work, and we're so grateful. On Patreon, you can get early release, ad-free versions of our regular episodes for $5 a month. We also have occasional video live streams or blogs, which all patrons can enjoy starting at just a dollar. And if you prefer Apple Premium, we've begun that feed as well, so you have an alternative way to contribute. The Fall Line is written, hosted, and researched by Laura Norton, with additional research by Brian Waters, Kiana Burgess, and Michaela Morrill. Interviews by Brooke Hargrove. Produced, engineered, and scored by Maura Curry. Content advisement by Brandy C. Williams, Liv Fallon, and Vic Kennedy. And, as always, our most special thanks to Liz Lipka and Sarah Turney. As of November 2022, monthly donations are going to Season of Justice to support their testing and family grant initiatives.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.